Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today. We've got a very special two people that I love doing radio with. First of all, Chris Williams. Chris, good to see you.
Hey, it's great to see you. Great to be here today.
And Dr. Alice Benton. Hey, Alice, how are you doing?
Well, I just refreshed my Minnesota accent on a trip back home to see the siblings and all the cousins. So, if you hear deeper O's and oof-tas and you betcha, that's why.
I love it. Yep.
Oh, that's nice. Were you able to figure out why things turned out the way they did as you were back there? Or
why
still?
I'm so terribly broken. Yep, I know who to blame. I did a lot of blaming.
A lot of people go through life, they never have that insight, and I just really applaud the fact that you do. I'm going to go right to the phones here, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we've got all the calls lined up already, and we're going to start with, let's start with Jerry, Santa Clarita, California. Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Hey there, how you doing?
Hey,
Jerry, are you there?
Hey guys.
Hi.
Yeah,
how's your life going
me?
Today? Yeah, sure can.
It's going great. It's a great life.
Good.
I had a question. Well, first of all, I know where You Betcha comes from now.
That's good.
I'd heard from a friend for many years.
Tell me how we could help today.
Well, it's just an ongoing concept that I need some help in understanding.
Okay.
And I just want to know how to respond to people in a comforting way. And it goes something like this, where I hear, well, don't worry about it. God's in control of everything. And then I think to myself, so what does that mean? Does that mean that my call to work on myself, my own sanctification, renewing of my thoughts, do I get to let up on that because God's in control of everything? If he's in control, why does that absolve me of doing the work on myself? And just kind of how does that work? How do those two concepts mix?
Yeah, it is kind of a tricky situation there when you think about it. But here's one way to start thinking about it. And that is that even though God is in control, he doesn't control us. In other words, we have that very tricky thing that he gave Adam and Eve and everybody else alive, the freedom to choose. And what he's in control of is no matter what happens, whichever way we choose, if we'll trust him, he will actually turn something really good out of it, because he is in control, but he isn't going to control us. So here's the thing. I'll give you a really blatant example. Johnny Erickson Tata dove into some water, shallow, spinal cord is split. She's a quadriplegic for the rest of her life. So to say to her, hey, don't worry about it, God's in control, that would be really foolish, wouldn't it? That's not going to help her to say, God's in control, don't worry about it. But what would maybe at the right time, after we truly connect with her over the pain and the loss, would be to say, it's early on, it's going to be amazing, Johnny, if you trust God in this, what God is going to do, even though I don't think he wanted this to happen to you, I think this is a horrible accident, he's going to take something, if you'll trust him, and do something spectacular. So now you look back all these years, Johnny has been the inspiration to so many people who were also paralyzed, who had great faith but didn't receive healing. She's created a Bible for people that struggle. He did something good from it because he's in control.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. So what I did was a pretty blatant example there of physical injury and that God's in control, but he isn't going to control someone and say, oh, no, I've got to stop this person from diving into shallow water so they don't ever experience some kind of difficulty. By the same token, God doesn't control parents, and sometimes parents can do some unhealthy things that cause us damage, and then we got to do a lot of work on that for the rest of our lives. Chris, what are you thinking in this as a way to talk about God's in control, so why go to work on you or do anything?
Jerry, this is such a good and important question because God does not call us to be passive. We see throughout the entire biblical narrative, the scripture shows us that he is constantly working in partnership. And we see in the life of Jesus that Jesus isn't commanding, like think of the rich young ruler, you have to follow me, you have to do all. He's not manipulating. He is constantly inviting. And it's our job to receive the invitation. And because he respects and loves us so much that he loves us enough to respect our will and our decisions. And so when our decisions match God's decisions, when our will becomes his will and vice versa, then what we see is God's control, God's will acting itself out on earth as it is in heaven. So we have a tremendous responsibility to participate in deep partnership with God in his ongoing transformation of our lives to become more and more like Christ.
And he loves to reward us for following his commands. And the Bible is full of very exciting promises. If you follow my ways, if you meditate on the Bible, you will be successful. You will receive blessings. I will provide for all your needs. So as we share in his power by our decisions, we get to decide what we can receive from him, the blessings, the graces, and the miracles based on our faith and on our obedience, our actions.
Yes. Yeah.
Somebody might say, why do people in recovery programs need 12 steps? Don't you just need one? You accept Christ and everything takes care of itself. But there is this thing, the word is sanctification, which just we have to do some responsible work for us to grow and become the person God has called us to be. And just like you wouldn't drag your child all around and never challenge them to take a step upon which they might fall if they take a step. You want to teach your kids to walk, not have somebody drag them around all their life. God lets us take that risky step so that we can walk and then run with the horses, as it says in one part of Scripture.
And the more we do it, the better our human relationships tend to play out as well. Yeah. So it benefits all over the place.
Now, I'm just curious if any of that was helpful, or did we just miss it by a long shot and what you were really wanting us to talk about?
And I actually think we lost Jerry, so I hope he's hearing our answer.
Well, Jerry, the answer was so long, he may have gotten may have fallen asleep and hit the thing. Anyway, I hope that that's helpful to you. Let's talk with Jim from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Listens online. Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Hi, good afternoon. How are you guys there?
Good.
Doing okay. How could we help?
So I have started talking to a lady. I have never met her. I have not met her yet. We started talking about a month and a half ago, I think. And she has been married twice. She has been divorced twice. I have been married twice. I'm sorry, I've been married once, and of course I'm divorced as well. So we have been talking consistently every day. You know, we've been trying to get to know each other. We were scheduled to meet this 4th of July weekend, but you know, she felt that we were getting to know each. It was a bit too fast, too soon. Mm-hmm. Even though it was about a month since we started talking at that point, so she said that you know, she canceled her ticket to come for us to meet.
Yeah.
And I'm scheduled. I mean, we did talk, and she understood where I was. And of course, you know, we are still talking. But she, I realize every so often she develops this cold feet. And mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like I am talking something disrespectful to her, or I'm not being too endearing in my conversations either. But I get the feeling there is this kind of a fear that sets into her in regular intervals, where she thinks I'm on a different page compared to where she is.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, she's been married. If she's been married twice and you've been married twice, then it's great that
I've been married once.
Well, okay, and you've been married once. It's kind of good that she's getting some cold feet and doesn't just rush forward out of desperation, right?
Right. Right.
But what's the question for us? What's the big one here?
Well, my question is, you know, I mean, is it not normal to have this kind of back and forth? Or what is the right pace? And even better, how do we... I mean, she seems like a great girl. I'm wondering if there is something I'm missing out in this, or is this normal?
Well, Alice, what do you think? Do you think this is normal, that she's making plans and then backs out, doesn't show up? What do you think?
I'm really not sure if it's normal or not, Jim, but I want to take you to some concerns and some questions that I hope you've been investigating with her, although the relationship is young. Have you both looked into and done work on why your first marriage and her two marriages ended?
I did go through counseling, and you know, I of course I've been divorced for about 8 years now, and as far as her, she said that she has done her homework. I don't know. I haven't confirmed if she has gone through counseling as well. But she said, you know, she was married to the first. Both of them had an element of the first one. I think there was both physical reasons that did not consummate the marriage. Apparently, I'm not sure beyond that what else could be the reason for the
neither.
Her
neither
divorce.
Marriage was consummated. Neither marriage was consummated.
The first one apparently. He did not want to have physical relationship, mm-hmm. a physical relationship, although she was with him for about 7 years. Mm-hmm. And the second one, it was about a year and a half, and he had apparently had ED.
Okay. All right. So then the question for Alice is, should you be concerned? Is this normal? What do you think, Alice?
I really think it depends. In a way, it may be too early to tell. And I would want to know what she does with this cancellation, whether or not she sets up to meet with you again, and will she follow through the next time? One cancellation may be an isolated incident. It may not be significant, but what's her pattern over time? And then, you know, how does she speak about the ending of those relationships and what she wants to be different moving forward, and what mm-hmm. she's done with herself for things to be different moving forward?
Yeah.
One last thing. She was raised in a home where her parents, she was raised by her uncle. Her parents were in a different part of the world as part of their work. And that has left a lot of hurt in her from the past. she said she's healed from that, but I don't know if this all comes together at some point.
This is going to be a weird statement, but she's using you as emotional porn right now. And so she gets all the benefits of getting your attention and getting a sense of connection without the real thing. She's got some serious work to do here. And so Jim, I think that there is, because the details are too vague, they shift around all the time. There does seem to be some significant hurt in her past, and that's a horrible thing. But what I want you to really be wary of is that you cannot rescue her. You're not her rescuer, and if you get involved with her in that position or that role, it's going to go down an unhelpful and damaging end for you. So I just think here, you have wants and desires and needs in a relationship, and those are important. And I'm not sure if she's the one that can really, really help you out there. I don't think that she's the one for you.
And not everybody is ready at the same time as someone else. And I think it's really great that you called us, ask about this, because, you know, it would be so sad if you were to spend and invest a lot of your emotional life into her and she was never, ever there. She has somehow gotten involved in these marriages where the connection wasn't all that strong enough, where she would be able to detect, or the other person would say, look, here's a problem I have, or I think, you know, this is going to be impossible for us. So I see this little slip up here, or this not coming. I think it's a gift to you. And you really do, and sometimes Christians have a hard time with this. You have to ask yourself, is it my role to stay with her so she doesn't get hurt more, or do I have a right to say, maybe this isn't a healthy relationship and I need to move on and be in a healthy relationship? That's what I'd want for you to be doing, to evaluate that.
I mean,
that.
There's a trip that is planned where I'm you know, going to be going and seeing her, so I don't know how to play that.
Well, I sure wouldn't push getting more emotionally involved with her until I saw how that played out. I guarantee you, you know, if you become intimate with her, you're really asking for trouble, because you could end up, you know, feeling so obligated and attached and wanting to make it right that you sign up for something for life that it just would have been best that you moved on. So be really careful about that. I mean, I hope you're not planning on staying with her. Is that right? No?
No, I'm staying in the hotel.
Good. Yeah. But also, there's no points off in the grand scheme of things if between now and the time you get with her, you decide that maybe it's not the right time to take a trip to visit her. Okay?
Right.
Okay. Dating is dating.
Thank
it's not
so
ministry.
Much.
Okay? I mean, in a way, it can
right.
be. I'm going to send you a copy of Is This the One? It's a great book to help you with dating ideas and to figure out if this is the one. All right, let's go. How about we talk with Brenda, Fort Hood, Texas, KBBW. Yeah. Hi, Brenda. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's going on today?
I have a question. My husband just passed away March this year.
I'm sorry. How did he die?
He had lung cancer, and it was really quick. When he first got diagnosed, within the year, they told him he had a year.
Oh, Brenda.
Oh,
so,
man.
And then he had burned in the tumors for him, brain tumors for him, inoperable ones. He had like five of them.
Just horrible.
And
so sorry.
We've been together 20 years. He was just 52. He had just turned 52. Actually, he'll turn 52 next month. And my question is, I was so angry, I still am. I'm angry, I'm ashamed to say, and our God, and I'm angry at him, also my husband, and I feel so guilty, because I was, when he was, while he was sick, I felt, I was so guilty, about it all and everything, being angry with him and everything, knowing it's not his fault and everything. And so my question is, how do I know that God, I know God has forgiven me because he is an awesome God. How do I know that my husband has forgiven me and that he knows how much I loved him? I pray every day for God to help me get over this and to heal my heart and my heart, sure. My soul and my spirit. I just need to know, how would I know if he did give me?
Yeah. What makes you think that he wouldn't forgive you, knowing the husband that you had? Why would you think maybe not forgive you?
No, I really don't, because he was such a wonderful man, inside and out, and he loved people, and he wasn't done judgmental about anything when it came to people, and he was always kind and tried to help them. And I know he would, but I guess I'm just, you know, I'm so still in denial of it all and everything.
So you know, this was in May, right? Or March? Which one?
March.
Yeah.
March.
All these horrible things are kind of right on schedule for you. We'll be back.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realize that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, July 19th to the 21st. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back and talking to Brenda here, anger over husband's death in March. Chris, you were making a point there.
Yeah, Steve, you mentioned to Brenda, and Brenda, I am so, so sorry. I mean, the grief and the loss and the hurt that you're in right now are all so real and so fresh and so early, and it is totally normal to still be in denial, even to have moments of shock where it doesn't seem real, and then moving into these things of anger or guilt, and losing a loved one there's just not a playbook for this. Mm-hmm. And I look None. At it even scripturally. It's like there's one thing in original creation that was never natural, and that was death. And so it's no wonder that it just hits us so hard, and we have such a hard time getting over it. So I just want you to know that what you're experiencing, as difficult and painful as it is incredibly normal in the process.
So, Brenda, I wonder if you'd let me lead you through a little prayer and a visualization right here, right now. And we are three other Christians gathering with you in this, so there's power to our prayer. So I want you to imagine, and even say it out loud if you will, acknowledging to your husband right here your anger towards him. Would you say it out loud?
Yes. Maybe I'm angry because you left, and I know it wasn't your fault, but I still am angry, and I miss him so much, and I just want you to know that I love you, and I want you to accept my apology and forgive me.
Do you know he did his best? Tell him that did his best to survive.
Yes, and I know you did your best, babe. I know you did. You fought strong, you know, for our daughter. We have a 19-year-old daughter, and he has a 2-year-old grandson. And I know that you fought hard, and I know you were in pain, and I know I'm being selfish, and but because I know you're in the most wonderful place there is with our Father. And I know you're not in any pain or hurting anymore. And I just can't get over.
And Brenda, imagine his response to you. How would your husband respond to that plea for forgiveness?
He was the baby. I've already forgiven you. I told you that.
Sure.
And he would tell me how much he loved me.
There you go.
Yeah.
Brenda, sometimes we need to feel that forgiveness that we can't hear directly from God or from a lost loved one like this. So we acknowledge your anger, and it's understandable anger, but we also hear your humility, and we know God blesses and responds to that humility. Mm-hmm. So as fellow Christians, we validate your anger, and we forgive it from one broken human being to another.
Okay. Right. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Now, if you were to get in a grief group, or you were to start to work with a real live Christian counselor, then that work we just did right there would just get bigger and better. And you, rather than being angry at him and wondering about forgiveness, you'd have a connection with him. You'd feel that even though he's in heaven, you're still connected to him in some ways, because you're no longer alienated from that anger. So I'm going to encourage that would happen for you. Another great place for those things to happen is Finding Freedom. I'm going to send her Take Your Life Back. It's going to help. Finding Freedom. We have people dealing with this all the time, and oh boy, it's just so exciting when they get better because of the work that they do there. And we're doing one in September. You could find out about that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or go to newlife.com. Okay, let's go and talk to May from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, WFIL. How are you?
Okay.
What's going on? What's going on? Well, let us in.
Well,
on it.
Okay. I'm calling again. I left my husband. I had to leave because he goes into rage, and then he starts, it's not all the time, but sometimes he starts throwing things. And
how long were you married? How long were you married or been married?
For 4 years.
Mm-hmm. And did you date each other very long before you got married?
About a year.
Okay, and so you're separated now, or you're divorced?
Separated.
Okay. So what's the question for us with this angry husband?
The question is, I'm feeling guilty about leaving, and I care what other people think, but I know it was the right thing for me to do.
Well, you left, but have you done anything to try to pull it all back together?
Well, I had tried when I was there. I finally gave up. Now, I haven't heard anything from him at all.
Okay. So nothing. So what's the question for us then? What's the question?
The question is, God, what can I do to go on? Okay. I want to go on, because I know I really know that he doesn't care.
Okay. We're going to help you with that right after this.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, September 20th to the 22nd.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really tough phone call about, you know, someone's angry and, you know, she has to leave to protect herself. Alice, what are you thinking here would be something helpful in this situation?
May, I think we can even hear the fear in your voice and even just the volume of your voice that your husband's rages have taken a major toll on you. And it seemed like your only option perhaps was to get out, to get safe. And would you clarify for us, how long have you been gone?
I've been gone for about 2.5 months.
And did you say you have not heard anything from your husband in that time? He hasn't reached out to you at all?
No.
And during the time that you were home and since you've left, did you ask anything of him? Did you ask him to take any steps towards healing?
Yes, I did. He just didn't have anything to say. He feels as though he just didn't have any. He just doesn't talk.
And he doesn't take action either to get the help. Is that right?
No, he's gone to counselors, but I just feel like he hasn't faced anything that has gone on in his life, and it's always me, and I've tried to do everything I could to work on the relationship, but it just did not. It takes two, and when one is trying and the other isn't, and then when you keep pressuring them, they can go into a rage, and you don't, you know, and I've always tried to avoid that.
It must put you in an impossible situation, because as you push for the marriage and ask for help for the marriage, you're afraid of his response, and he is unsafe.
Yes.
So Chris has some really practical steps and ideas to help you through the next days and weeks.
May, first of all, hey, great job in getting yourself out of a very, very unsafe and dangerous situation. It takes a lot of courage, and it takes a lot of follow-through to be able to do that. And I want to recommend, again, getting into a process where you can really identify what you need for safety, what you need in the marriage, what you need in the relationship, and that those become standards in which he has to live by or move. And if he doesn't, you can only do what you can do. If he doesn't move in that direction, then the responsibility goes back on him. But what's critically important is that you can remain in a emotionally, physically, sexually safe place. And if he can't provide that for you, then you can't be near him. In the midst of that, your relational support is critically important. So having your friends or family, people who can be both graceful and truthful with you, is really important through this process, so you can restore a sense of internal safety for yourself. And good counseling can help you do that as well.
No matter what he does, it's really important that you get some very, very, very good help, and we'll try to help you find that. And, you know, if I were you, I would really look for some kind of a codependency group. Oh, you are in a group?
I am. Yes, I'm in the process now.
Good.
Okay, good deal. Alice, you had a final word here?
Yeah, May, if you haven't looked into your legal safety and financial safety with your husband not doing anything for 2.5 months, I feel protective of you in those areas. So even just talking to a lawyer or considering how to protect your finances, depending on what your husband does or doesn't do, I think would just be wise to plan and be proactive.
Yes.
Sure would. Well, I'm really glad that you have called us here. And I'm going to send you a little copy of John Townsend's book, People Fuel. It's our thank you gift this month for anybody that supports us, because there's some really great information in there on how to develop these healthy relationships that can get us back to where we were if we've been through some kind of horrible, horrible situation. I hope and pray that you and your husband could come to one of our intensives. So many miracles happen there, and that really is what's there. You're afraid of him. Most men that lash out at women, they're scared to death in life. They don't know what they're doing, and if they could finally be confident that somebody could help them, they'd get that help, and I hope that's going to happen in your case. All right, let's go to, how about we talk with Jenna, Knoxville, Tennessee. Hi, Jenna, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Actually, I'm very frustrated with myself.
How are you?
And I hope I don't cry.
It's okay if you
so
do.
I'll ask the questions first.
Okay.
Then I'll give you a little bit of background.
Okay.
I want to know why I'm so easily agitated. Why is my chain so easily jerked? And what do I need to do to manage myself and my emotions? This is really affecting my life, my personal relationships, and professionally. And to give you a little bit of background, I was the firstborn of my family. I have two younger brothers, and we're like 2.5 years apart. And so... When I got to get myself together here. When I was about 5 years old, my hair started turning red.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up with red hair, freckles. I was teased by my cousins, my brothers. They nicknamed me Red. And that frustrated me. So, and I also... I've always been kind of gullible person and easily manipulated. So I get very
I can get agitated when things in a conversation gets, I don't know, when things get, you know, tough in a conversation.
Well, why don't you ask us a question? Ask us a question about what you're going through.
So why am I so easily agitated? Why does my chain get so easily jerked?
Okay. I want to ask you a quick question. When you think about childhood, what is one of the most vivid memories that you have of your childhood? Anything come to mind?
Nothing like an actual event. Like, you mm-hmm. know, I remember.
Were either of your parents angry, or did they ask you Did your parents ask you not to be angry, to kind of be perfect, or were either of them angry parents? What was that like?
They were angry with each other. Mm. They would argue and fuss a lot, and mm-hmm. it was like, you know, very chaotic at times.
Yeah.
And then the switch would flip, and then, like, in a matter of an hour or two or the next day, and you would think they were on their honeymoon again.
Mm. Was that a pretty insecure way to go through life like that, not knowing what was going to go on?
Yes. Mm. I guess.
Jenna, what are you feeling right now as that emotion bubbles to the surface? What is that?
I don't know. I really don't.
Yeah. Well,
I'm just very overwhelmed right now.
Yeah. So, Jenna, take one big, deep breath. Okay, let me tell you what's happening. When conversations get difficult, what people are doing is they're touching your unhealed pain, and you get angry. And what we're trying to help you discover is your unhealed pain. And it sounds like you're already there. You're on the right path. Is that somehow, just by having red hair, there was something wrong with you? That's the genesis of deep-rooted shame. Like, you're not controlling red hair, and red hair is beautiful and great. But for you, it meant something painful. For your parents arguing, for a home that gets angry, you felt unsafe. There is pain there. And so when other people's hint of anger, you show anger first to get back to safety again, because there's unhealed hurt and pain there.
And Jenna, you are in a great position in that you have access to the tears and the sorrow, because the solution, the antidote to anger, is grief. And there's a lot to grieve. Mm-hmm. I suspect you weren't protected. I suspect nobody stepped in to protect you from all this teasing. So when you said, "I hope I don't cry," I thought, oh boy, I hope you do cry. Because those tears are the solution for you, Jenna.
Oh my gosh. You're so right. This just came to me. Instead of being protected, it just hit me. You know what my parents told me when I would make it cry?
We'll find out after this.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and Jenna, you were going to tell us what your parents said whenever you got angry as a young child. What was that?
They would just they would skim over it. They would turn around and blame me. Oh, quit whining. Quit crying. You're going to cry over something like that?
So they minimized any of your feelings?
Very much.
Yeah.
And what your response...
They minimized. They didn't even recognize it.
So what your response is continually is, would you please recognize my feelings here? Would you see me for what I'm experiencing?
Mm-hmm.
Because you probably felt pretty invisible with them.
And Jenna, we get hurt in relationship, but we also find healing in safe relationship. So you need more of this emotional and spiritual nurturing and nutrition that you're getting from us in this call. So whether it's in a group, whether it's with a therapist on one of our weekends, this is exactly what you need to fill up your heart and soul and to heal those old wounds. And I guarantee you, you'll see a big decrease in that anger and irritability you feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We want to encourage you to keep going, because look at the insight that you had here with one conversation with three people. We're exploring this with you, and you realize for the first time, look at how they didn't even acknowledge my feelings, much less, as you said, minimize them. They didn't even acknowledge it. So I'm going to encourage you to keep going there. I'm going to send you How We Love, and I think you're going to find, it's Mylon Kay's book, I think you're going to find how it was like for you. You're going to see stuff in there, and you're going to, that was exactly the way it was for me when I was growing up in my home, and it'll be a very healing experience to read that.
And I extend an invitation to the very limited, exclusive Redheaded Freckled Club. My two boys and I are a part of it. We are a unique breed, Jenna, and we got to stick together.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the pride that you seem to have over that, but we can talk about that. Right now, Larry's in the studio, and Larry, let's ask people to help us, because we want to see folks get better no matter what they're going through.
Absolutely, and I want people to understand what this radio program does. This lady wrote us and said, all of you at New Life have seen me through, instructed me through, coached, encouraged, counseled, led, loved me through experiences I would never have dreamt, nightmarish experiences that Christians were dealt in this life. Even more than daily Monday to Friday doses of practical solutions delivered in your gentle, loving, respectful grace from your radio program, the resources you create and provide have helped not only save this life, but more than a saved life, I can now see much evidence rippling out. Mm. Today is the direct result of every one of you answering the call to take up the mission. I live a free woman, in love for the very first time of my life with my Lord and my Savior, Christ Jesus.
Wow.
Does it get any better than that?
No, that's right.
You know, not only did she feel like her life was saved, and that happens. You know, people feel like if they didn't hear from us, their life would end in some way.
Yeah, that's right.
But she's in love with Christ Jesus. So if you can support that, would you please consider, you know, this is a recorded program. I can't give you the precise amount we're going to need to wrap up this matching gift. But I'm guessing based on the averages and things from when we last had this 8 days ago when this program was recorded, we're going to be at about $50,000 left to go. And we've got just a little over, well, what do we have? 2 weeks to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for giving. We need it. Every dollar you give will be doubled. Every $10 will be 20, 50 is 100. You make the calculation, and we could use that support. It makes a difference. Amen. And thank you, everybody who has been giving.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, Larry. I think we've got time for one more phone call. Let's go right over here to Amy from Tampa, Florida, listens online. Hey, Amy, how are you?
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah, what's going on?
Okay, I have just basically I have an unhealed, full of pain, young 23-year-old son living at home and a 20-year-old daughter. I'm a single mom for 10 years now, raised these two children, had to ask her dad to leave for drug addiction, et cetera. So I did the best I could, but I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of this unhealed pain that my son has. He's been for 3 years trying to self-medicate with alcohol and marijuana. Between those 3 years, I have gone with him to psychiatrists to try to help him with his high anxiety and to no avail, you know, whatever, wrong diagnosis, wrong medication. Bottom line is he has chosen not to be medicated. That way he would rather do alcohol and weed. So I have been not handling it perfectly. I admit it right now. But my bottom line is I'm not sure which way to go. We're in crisis mm-hmm. at our home with him.
So what's the question for us?
Well, the question is, I mean, I've got to tell you this part. I got him to go to rehab a week and a half ago.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that was the bottom line. Son, you need
when
help.
Did,
okay.
When did so you when did you pick him up? Okay, so you're yeah, he left. I figured.
He left, he left the facility due to high anxiety and a panic attack because he had to stay in a room with another man. And then he has just told me about some abuse that I did not know about in middle mm-hmm. school, sexual
okay.
abuse.
What's the question for us then?
Question is, I don't know what to do with this son of mine. I don't know. I've listened to Dr. Amen. I've been trying to talk him into doing EMDR. He's had counseling. I don't know if I can't get him to go, I can't seem to even get him to listen to me. He's very, very angry at me because I sent him there. I also had to call the police.
Okay, so we don't have a lot of time, but
I know.
But here's our best, Alice. Okay. A short, and then Chris, and then I'll finish it up here. What do you think she should do?
I think for the safety of your home, Amy, and you are in such a difficult position, I think you have to let your son know, son, you may stay in my home as long as you are in treatment and staying in treatment and that you're sharing the proof of the treatment with me. Because, Amy, if he's allowed to stay without being in treatment, I mean, you know the road. You had to deal with it with your husband. So I want to orient you that with that kind of a statement, you're putting power into your son's hands and you're allowing him to decide if he gets to continue to receive your help and support or not. You have made so many efforts and interventions to get him into help, and now you need to let him make this decision, but then live with the consequences of the decision that he makes.
Chris, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, just in addition to that, Amy, your son, his first priority has to be getting sober from the alcohol and the weed. No progress in his other issues of anxiety, abuse, probably PTSD are going to be made or going to have any traction as long as he's medicating it that way. The other aspect is just I highly, highly encourage you to get into Al-Anon to get perfect. Stay with that process. So great job in that. And again, get some counsel around that. But really, the primary problem is his addiction. There are really good treatment centers out there that can treat both the addiction and the underlying trauma. And so doing a little research around that, and I know we're connected here at New Life with some great places as well.
Yeah, so hold on. We're going to give you some help here. But, you know, his anxiety is only made worse by mm-hmm. weed and alcohol. Because what he's doing there is, you know, you use it and then you get the instant relief, but when the effect wears off, it's worse. Mm-hmm. So I hope that the counterproductive things can stop and productive things can start. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need help or you can help us. We love you. We care about you. Hope you have a great rest of the day. Thank you, Alice. Thank you. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.